إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وبعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما رواه مسلم: والحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من حج فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه. Dear brothers and sisters, the season of Hajj is over. I believe that people already arrived who went for Hajj, and probably some may just stay for a few more days, maybe to visit Al-Madinah or just to stay in Al-Haram for a few days. But the Hajj itself is over. The Hajj, dear brothers and sisters, is a pillar of Islam. It is a pillar for those who are able to do it. It's once in a lifetime, and it is something that every believer will long to go to Hajj. And if they have come back, if they have just come back, they long to go back to Hajj again. There are just two questions which I'd like to attempt to answer. The first one is beyond the scope of this khutbah. It is something that probably my fellow khatibs did cover before. Is if the Hajj is once in a lifetime, and it is something that some Muslim cannot do, while Salah we do 5 times a day, and Siyam is a whole month every year, and Zakah is something we pay on our daily earnings, although we pay it once in a year when it reaches the threshold, but it is something that is given from our hard daily work. But Hajj is only a few days. So the first question is why it is a pillar of Islam. بُنِيَ الْإِسْلَامُ عَلَى خَمْسِ شَهَادَةِ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ وَصَوْمِ رَمَضَانِ وَحَجِّ الْبَيْتِ مَنَ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. So it is made one of the pillars of Islam. And the answer, as I said, is because of the numerous lessons that the Hajj, the persons who go to Hajj and come back, should pick up. But also, it is for those who did not go. Particularly that in the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, these are the best days that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept good deeds. Some people fasted, some people read Al-Quran, some people made sure that they followed a corrective path of making tawbah, going to the masjid to pray jama'ah, etc. And the Eid was to celebrate and embrace all these lessons. If you haven't gone, the people who are coming back will tell you. And I hope that for a believer, they'll tell the positive lessons, not to complain about hardship. So you will learn from them. But also, by the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the modern telecommunications and media made it easy for us to see them making tawaf, making sa'i, being in Mina, in Al-Muzdalifah, making takbir, making tahleel, making dua. We could see them making, throwing the stones. So we relate to Hajj every year, either by receiving our brothers and sisters and relatives coming back, or by watching and also involving ourselves during the 10 days, if we haven't been to Hajj, in fasting and praying and making tasbih and takbir. So that is one question. The other one, and also for the Hajj, it is a lifetime experience that they learn about not only connecting themselves geographically with the Muslim coming from across the world, the Chinese, the African, the European, the Arab, the white, the yellow, the red and the black, tens and tens of different languages and cultures and backgrounds being in one place, to show that this ummah is one ummah. No matter what happened, no matter what we feel about the current situation of the ummah, it is one ummah. And it is something that we should embrace and celebrate. Because again and again, it's telling Islam is one. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. We follow His Prophet. We believe in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we apply the prophetic tradition in our lives, the sunnah. Every year that is a reminder. Nothing can stop that, dear brothers and sisters. But also, the Hajj learns to connect themselves throughout history. From the very first Muslim that made tawaf until this year, it is the same place. The place where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was there. And before Ibrahim, by the way, Ibrahim raised the pillars of Al-Kaaba, the foundation, but it was there. And before, and in my opinion, the most correct opinion is that the Kaaba was built when Adam came, the Kaaba was there. Because if everyone is ordered to go there, then Adam had the same chance. So it is a connection throughout history. Also, you see, you feel the place where the Sahaba radiallahu anhum around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. All that feeling is brought home, plus all the rituals that you believe in Allah. One Lord, one God, one Ummah. But after Hajj, for the rest of the year, what can we do? Can we go to Hajj during the year? Of course not. Al-Hajj ashhurun ma'lumat. If you stand in Arafat for the whole year, apart from the 9th of the Hijjah, it makes no difference. There is no Hajj for you. It is the 9th of the Hijjah. And Muzdalifah is from the sunset, the 10th, etc. Apart from learning these lessons, talking to the people, congratulate them, and praying for them, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it Hajj Mabrur, and accept their Hajj, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may, when they return, is like newborn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wipe off all their sins, and that is an injection into this ummah with newborn Muslims. Muslims who are now, they say, Alhamdulillah, I've done the Hajj. I'm not going back to the bad habits. I'm not going back to all these sins. I'm not going to compromise on my salah. I will do it as much as I can in the masjid. I want to do it with khushu'. I want to do it properly. I want to have a fantastic relationship with my brothers and sisters. I want to keep what I have earned by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is extremely important. But for those who haven't been able to go, and those who came back, you must, if you haven't been before, you must really try to go as soon as you can. Don't delay it. Don't say, when I am a little bit older, when I get married, when I send my children to school, or when they finish university, when my grandchildren arrive, you cannot guarantee your life. And the ulama say, and at least some of them, wajib ala al-fawr. As soon as you can, you should go. If there is nothing, there is no obstacles, and you have the finance, you should go. Why wait? You don't wait until you are old. It is hard enough if you are young. Don't delay it until you are old. So the intention, dear brothers and sisters, should be there. If you want to go again. No one can stop you. Don't listen to those who say, oh, it's too crowded. If you've been, that's it. If you can, go as many as you can. Congratulations. No one can stop you. The place should be able to embrace those who want to make Hajj. The question again is there anything left apart from that in Hajj? I would say the following. There are, by the blessings and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are deeds that if we do, and please listen to me, dear brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, these are authentic hadiths, because our deen can only be based upon Al-Quran, the true understanding of Al-Quran, and the authentic sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, not on the da'if or mawdu', non-authentic. And these are authentic hadiths. In the hadith, in Al-Madinah, the people who are less well off approach the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because those who are better off, they can do things they can't do. Although they share everything else. They share the Iman, they share the Islam. They want to do everything they can to win the prize of Al-Jannah. So they approach the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. What did they say? قلنا يا رسول الله ذهب الأغنياء بالأجر. Or in another رواية ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور. يحجون ولا نحج ويجاهدون ولا نجاهد وكذا وكذا. They name things. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا أدلكم على شيء إن أخذتم به جئتم من أفضل ما يجيء به أحد منهم أن تكبروا 34 وتسبحوا 33 وتحمدوا 33 في دبر كل صلاة. رواه البخاري وغيره بألفاظ. وفي ألفاظ أخرى أن تسبحوا 33 وتحمد 33 وتكبر 33 وتمام 100 لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. I explain. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave them these less well off صحابة رضي الله عنهم and people in Al-Madinah came approached the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said that the rich people can go to Hajj. Of course, at that time you may think, did they act, was, when was that? It could have been after Hajjat al-Wada. It could have been before. Because even before, لِمَنْ إِسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. So understanding the text in Al-Quran and Sunnah, that if you don't have the ability, the financial ability, you cannot go. So they said the rich people can go to Hajj. They can sponsor jihad. They can do this, they can do that, they can pay charity, they pay zakah, they pay above zakah, and so on. They look after an orphan. We don't do that. So there is a huge differential, if you like. Difference. How can we reach that? Then the Prophet ﷺ said, shall I tell you something you do? If you do it, not only that you reach what they do, going to Hajj and so on, but you'll do better. And he directed them to a very simple thing. The tasbih that we do after salah, dear brothers and sisters. And I think that you know. But a lot of us say, okay, they sit, they pray sunnah and they go. Or they engage themselves in dua that they can do any time. It's not after the salah. And it's not a sunnah to do it after the salah every time. You can do it any time, dua. But the tasbih is the sunnah. After the salah, the salatul fard. Not after the salatul sunnah. So he directed them to say subhanallah 33 times, alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 34 times. In another narrations, 33 times Allahu Akbar and La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, after the completion of 100. So it is something simple, and it says that it's better than Hajj and Jihad and sponsoring Jihad, etc. The true Jihad, of course. And we pray our Salah and then we walk off. And it only takes a few minutes to end that. And this hadith is narrated in Al-Bukhari and in other Sahih books. So that is the first one. And everyone can do it and it's very easy. And already a lot of you do it. But remember the thawab. So if you remember the thawab, if you know the ajr, the reward for it, you'll do it even better. You'll make sure that you do it and you do it properly. And if you say, oh, I'm in a... Say, okay, it's about another 30 seconds or so, 1 minute more. To gain that much thawab. I'm not going to leave my salah until I do it. In another hadith, again, what we are talking about, dear brothers and sisters, that Hajj is over. Those who already been, they are coming back, or they already come back. And there is another Hajj, inshallah, if we live long enough next year. But can we get the reward of Hajj? Of course. It does not mean that if you do that tasbih, you are exempted from going to Hajj. We understand that, don't we? It's that just the ajr is as much. But you have to go to Hajj at least once in your lifetime if you can. In another hadith, in Sahih al-Jami' and in other books, من صلى الفجر في جماعة ثم قعد يذكر الله حتى تطلع الشمس ثم صلى ركعتين كانت له كأجر حجة وعمرة تامة تامة تامة. If you pray Fajr, what the hadith says, that if you pray Fajr in Jama'ah, and for the sisters, they don't have to pray in Jama'ah, they can if they want. No masjid should shut its doors in the faces of our sisters. The Prophet ﷺ says very clearly that لا تمنع إماء الله مساجد الله. A woman, she loves sometimes to be in the masjid. The Prophet ﷺ says very clearly also that their homes are better for them and their ajr there are higher. But nevertheless, if they decided to go to the masjid, there should be facilities for them, even if it was a small masjid. I remember when I lived in Leicester, there were at that time at least 13 masjid. Maybe now there are 25 or 30, mashallah. I cannot remember one masjid that caters for women, even for Taraweeh. women are not allowed. This is not right. This is in breach. It is in clear breach of the message of the Prophet ﷺ. Even some Sahaba like Umar al-Khattab, he didn't want his wife to go to Fajr. But he could not, by saying don't go to Fajr, he couldn't do that. Because that is against the order of the Prophet ﷺ. The order of the Prophet is on the top of all orders. So, for the sisters, even if they do their salah in Fajr, at home, inshallah, this hadith applies to them. So what does that hadith say? If you pray Fajr in Jama'ah for our brothers and for the sisters, inshallah, if they pray even in their own bedrooms, which we know that the thawab is much higher. And what they did after the salah, they made tasbih, the tasbih we mentioned. And also they made istighfar. They may have read Quran. They say subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. حسبي الله ونعم الوكيل اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. All these are أذكار. Raising your hands, اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني, اللهم ربنا أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار, اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. Whatever, this is أذكار, دعاء. Reading القرآن, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, ألف لام ميم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, ألف لام ميم, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه, أن يريد القرآن ذلك, this is أذكار. Until when? Until sunrise. And then you stay, because you can't pray exactly at sunrise. These are the forbidden times, sunrise and sunset, and also when the sun is perpendicular, at exactly just before dhuhr time. These are times that you should not be praying. Anyway, the fiqh is more complex, whether if, for example, if you go into the masjid, do you pray tahiyyat al-masjid or not? Another thing. Nevertheless, so what do? You continue to make dhikr until about 15-20 minutes. I usually leave it until 20 minutes after Fajr. And then you go and Allahu Akbar, you pray two rak'ah, which is what? Salatul Duha. This is actually Salatul Duha that you can pray from that time until 15 minutes to midday. 15-20 minutes. Usually that's my personal preference with the knowledge. It's about 20 minutes after sunrise and 15 minutes to dhuhr time. You can pray these two rak'ah. Al-duha. So what happens? If you do that, the hadith says, the sahih, you will get the thawab of one hajjah and one umrah. Tamma, tamma, tamma. The Prophet says, complete, complete, complete. Just to emphasize and digress upon this thawab. And dear brothers and sisters, please try it. Please try it. Go to the masjid or to the musalla and do it for a week. And do it for a week, please. And of course, sleep well and do it for a week. And see how your heart reacts to that. Wallahi al-azim. See how your heart reacts to the environment you are in, how it reacts to the Quran. It will soften. Your tears will be near. You'll have more khushu' in your salah. Try it. Try it with yaqeen, with certainty. Not try it that you are testing. Test yourself, not test the hadith. The hadith is authentic. You get the thawab of hajjah and umrah tamma, 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 and see what happens to you. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he used to do that. And when he's approached by his students, he will say, leave me. And he will stay until the sun is really high. And he says, this hadihi ghadwatu. Wa illa fa'ayna quwwati. This is my breakfast. This is my strength for the rest of the day. It gives me the power to face the day with iman and Islam and khushu' and taqwa. Dhikr in this time is very valuable. And you get a lot of thawab. And of course, if you want to sleep, you sleep the qaylula about 10 minutes, even if you're sitting down. And it's better if you just, against a wall. and many people try it, 4 hours sleep, 5 hours sleep with Qailula, resets your energy, you can face the rest of the day. Let alone if you have slept more. Don't feel obliged to sleep 8, 10, 12 hours. Whatever you read, great people don't sleep that many hours. Not the Muslims, not the non-Muslims. Prime ministers and important people do not have the luxury of sleeping 10, 12 hours. And I'm not saying, you know, everybody, you gauge your body. Don't say, you know, oftentimes we sleep much less. If I don't remember it, I'm okay. I sit and after just before Dhuhr, I keep and that's it. Alhamdulillah, I'm ready for the rest of the day. Or you can sleep, you go back to sleep, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, I'll read another hadith before I stop. من غدا إلى المسجد لا يريد إلا أن يتعلم خيرا أو يعلمه كان له كأجر حاج تاما حجته. حسن صحيح في صحيح الترغيب, كتاب الترغيب والترهيب. This is authenticated by Sheikh Al-Albani and others, and it says whoever goes to the masjid, the only reason this you are going to the masjid is to teach or to learn. So there is a halaqa, there is tajweed, there is tafsir, there is sira, fiqh. A few people get together, they read in a sira or they read tafsir Ibn Kathir, maybe Al-Misbah Al-Munir for Al-Mubarak Furi is a fantastic book. Or a brother who knows how to read Al-Quran is teaching the others how to pronounce the letters and how to do tajweed properly and how to read Quran, etc. If you do that, if you go to the masjid specifically for this, and of course for salah as well, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Kana lahu ka ajri haj tamman hajjatuh." He would gain the reward of someone who performed hajj, that his hajj was complete. And why the Prophet ﷺ is telling us تَامًا حَجَّتُ, because any ibadah like salah, as in the hadith, when you finish your salah, Allah may write for you half of it, quarter, eighth, tenth, or وَلِعَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, if it is not performed to the right conditions, it may be returned to you. Allah does not want your salah if your heart isn't there, your wudu is not good, some people do it as if they are in the Olympics rather than praying. This is not salah. And the hajj is the same. Do you think every hajj comes back with exactly the same reward? Of course not. We may have some shortcomings in the hajj. So it is shorter than someone who is, he made it with khushu', he was more lenient to the brothers and sisters. He was patient. He did it according to the kitab and sunnah. And so on. And here it says, تَامًا حَجَّتُ. Someone who perfected his hajj, you get the thawab for that. Believe, that you have to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous. He will reward you. He will give you as long as you seek his reward and you seek his forgiveness. There are a lot more hadiths, by the way, and I remember I'm not sure if I give this khutbah here, how to elongate your life, how to make your life longer, is by doing these things. That is the most authentic and accurate description, because if you have 60 or 70 or 50 years, they're not going to be 500. But there are people who are in a daily basis, scoop so much thawab, and there are people who waste their time, and their thawab is less. So if you compare, then that life is much longer than the other. أقول هذا القول وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا، وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم، إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. اللهم ارحمنا فإنك بنا راحم، والطف بنا بما جرت به المقادير يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم رد هذه الأمة إلى دينها ردا جميلا، اللهم ردها إلى كتابك وسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم هيئ لهذه الأمة أمرا رشدا، اللهم احفظها من كل شر، اللهم احقن دماءها، اللهم ارحم أمواتها وتقبل شهداءها، اللهم اطعم جائعها واوي شريدها، اللهم اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم، إنك أنت العز الأكرم. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، وأعلي بالحق كلمة الدين. اللهم من أراد بالإسلام والمسلمين خيرا فوفقه لكل خير، ومن أراد بهم سوءا فاقصمه وخذه أخذ عزيز مقتدر. اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين وفي غزة، اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم احفظهم من كل شر، اللهم أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف، اللهم ارحم ميتهم وتقبل شهيدهم، اللهم أطعم جائعهم واكسع عاريهم، اللهم ارحمهم فإنك بهم راحم يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا في سوريا، اللهم انصرهم من ظلم الظالمين وعداوة المعتدين وحقد الحاقدين. اللهم اقصم الجبابرة المعتدين، اللهم اقصم بوتين وجنوده يا أرحم الراحمين، اللهم اقصم الأسد وجنوده، اللهم اقصم كل من تآمر على هذه الدولة وهؤلاء المسلمين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم انصرهم نصرا عزيزا قريبا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم احفظ المسلمين في أوروبا، اللهم احفظهم في كل مكان، اللهم احفظهم في بلاد الشرق والغرب وفوق الأرض وتحت السماء يا أرحم الراحمين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.